How are you all going, church? I hope very well. Fantastic. That's good to hear. I've got a couple of announcements before I preach this morning. But how good was it just seeing two young people in this service and seven people in the first service say yes to public declaration of saying yes to Jesus? It's amazing. And being the youth pastor, I just want to just encourage you with a bit of a testimony. We're just seeing many, many God's moving in teenagers' lives. And then just this Friday night, here in this room and in this property, we had 400 people come in for youth. It was amazing and it was awesome. It was fun. We had a rock climbing wall, bucking bull, we had a barber. That was cool. We were cutting hairs for free. So it was pretty cool. And hairs. But the more like of the testimony is on Friday night, we had 75 salvations, which is amazing. There was more hands, but that's 75 forms filled out on Friday night. That's people giving details, and we're going to send them our discipleship book. We're going to obviously disciple them into mighty men and women of God. And I just think, oh, glory to God. How good is that? And praise God. God's moved immensely over this year, and I know He's going to continue to move in our next few weeks. So if you can help us, please do come to that trivia night. It will help us out immensely to be able to help fund what we do on Friday nights. And $10 cover charge. I know it's going to be a lot of fun. So as Pastor Joe said, just come along, bring a family, bring your life group. It would be awesome. And if you can register sooner, it will help me out immensely. But another exciting bit of news is Tiana and I, a lot of you have said congratulations, but Tiana and I are having a baby expected 2026 April, which is very exciting. Thank you for the nice messages and everything like that. We really appreciate it. It's a very exciting time for Tiana and I, April 2nd. And one thing, if you can pray for, I've got two due dates. I'm not going to be as rigid as Pastor Joe was with his one due date. So I'm okay with April 2nd or March 30th. So if we can please pray, I'll put it. So obviously not March 1st, not April 1st for many reasons. So fantastic. And but today I'm excited to preach with you all, and I've named my message, God is in Control. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the baptisms that just occurred, Lord, with people saying yes to you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, speak through me and speak to me today and open up all of our hearts and minds to hearing from you as I preach this word. Lord, let your presence be in this room right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start this morning off directly with the Bible. So we're going to read from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 8. It's going to be on the side screens. And it says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." And there's a lot of times, as you can just read, Solomon was speaking there. A lot of different areas and a lot of great symbolisms and analogies there. And if you didn't know, Solomon wrote this. And Solomon was quite commonly known as the wisest man to ever live this earth, or one of the wisest men to ever live this earth. And I can see that a lot of you, when you're reading this, you're going, "What? Is there a time to kill? Or why is there a time to hate? Or maybe some of you going, why is there a time for war? Like, it's a little bit confusing." But each of these times, Solomon has great reason for, and it's a great analogy. And an example of this, where it says a time to kill and a time to heal, it actually is speaking on the conflict and reconciliation. See, we all have times of conflict, and we all have times that we do need to reconcile that conflict. And both are a major part of life and moral struggle. A time to love and a time to hate doesn't speak on hatred of people, but actually opposition to wrong. A time for war and a time to speak for peace speaks on how humanity cycles through conflict and harmony. And as we have seen so clearly, there is always a time of conflict and harmony in this earth, as we've seen recently. And see, these are great symbolisms and meanings of each time he has mentioned. And I could continue to go through each one where he's actually speaking about, and I could give you current day examples on each one. And if you are interested, I would encourage you to look them up. But in the end, what Solomon was trying to get across in these verses is the very first verse where he says, whilst we are on earth, we are going to go through seasons. There is a season for everything, is what he says. So that means we're going to go through seasons of joy, seasons of sadness, seasons of work, seasons of rest, seasons of gain, seasons of loss, and so forth. And when these different seasons arise, they are typically out of our control. When each season arises, we are typically not in control of said season. And that creates confusion, that creates doubt, that creates worry. Because us as humans, we like to be in control. As much as we say, oh God, everything in our life is for you. We give you all control. We do everything for you. We're really just like, yeah, God, do that, but I'll just watch behind and make sure that you're doing everything right. So we like to be in control. An example of this is we have four seasons of weather, don't we? We have summer, spring, winter, and autumn. There's four different seasons, and I can tell you right now, winter is the greatest season of them all. And in each season, we like to have the weather have the same sort of temperature as it should be. In summer, yes, it should be hot. We want it to be around that 28, 30, not much more than that, but it is. In spring, we want it to be a little bit more comfortable. In winter, we want it to be below 17 degrees. Or that's just me. I just want it to be below 17. Imagine that, a full winter just below 17. Oh, it'd be amazing. Oh, but and in autumn, similar. And we want it to go through cycles. So when it's autumn, it's spring right now, isn't it? It's spring. When it's spring, thank you. I said it was, I stuffed up in the last service. But when it was spring, we don't want to have a day like we had yesterday. We don't want to have a week like we had last week. When we're in church going, is there even aircon on? And I want to encourage you right now, we are going to eventually get two new aircons, promise you. We bought them. There it is. There's a praise report. There's a testimony itself. We bought two new aircons to go into this room. So don't worry, summer is not going to be painful this year. We want our seasons to correlate with the correct temperature. And that's why when 2 weeks ago happened, I was complaining. Oh, it's too hot. I'm not ready for this. I can't do it. Yesterday, I was the same. And I know that there'll be many people in this room that would feel the same way as me. You want the seasons to be in control. You want them to be what they're supposed to be. And if we're going to have seasons of weather, then we need to expect that that weather will match the season we're in. And that is like our life, where we could handle not being in complete control of our life, maybe in our earlier years when we're in school, maybe when we're in university, maybe when we're an apprentice or in some sort of studying or lower ages. But then post that, we're not happy when we feel out of control. We're not happy we struggle with not being in control. We struggle with not having our life be where we want it to be. And because of this, at times it just feels like it just makes no sense. Life just feels like it makes no sense. But what we need to remember is though, although it is out of our control, I can tell you right now that everything we are going through is still in God's plans. God is still in control of everything. Although at times it doesn't feel like he is, although at times it doesn't feel like he's even closer, and you may have taken a step of obedience and you feel like, oh, God was in this, but all of a sudden there's silence. And at these times, in these seasons, you may question and have doubt, but I want to encourage you today that everything we go through is in God's plans. He's teaching us. He's growing us. He's encouraging us. Maybe we need to go through a season of struggle to actually grow into what he needs us to be for the next season. And Ecclesiastes 3, 9 to 13 says, what do people really get for all their hard work? I've seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are the gifts from God. God is in control. He's in control from beginning to the end. And there is nothing in our lives that God is unaware of. And although it seems like nothing in our lives at times can make sense, I can guarantee you God is doing something beautiful behind the scenes. And we just haven't been seeing the full picture yet. So don't believe when you're in a season of struggle or where you're in a season where it's just you feel out of control. Don't believe the lie that this is not a season, that it's actually your life, because that is a lie. But we all go through seasons where we are out of control. And although it may consume you at the time, although it may feel like it's there's nothing and there's no way of getting out of it, God is in control and we just need to trust him. So we need to remain present and find joy in the seasons that we are in. Find satisfaction in our labor and receive the gifts from God as they come, as that will ensure you get the most out of each season. Because as I've mentioned, each season is a season that we are called to grow into, and each season is a season that God is using us to grow into the person that he wants to be. And today I want to look at three spiritual seasons that we will go through. And each season will serve its own purpose. And the first season I want to look at is the season of preparation. Every single person goes through this season. Every single person goes through a season of preparation. As this is a season where God is building you quietly behind the scenes, where your character, faith, capacity, and endurance is usually tested. And as I mentioned before, it usually feels like you're in a place that you are not in the limelight, where you're doing all the hard stuff, where it feels like everything you do is just like nobody's noticing. It's all behind the scenes, and it just feels like nothing is happening, where God's placed all these dreams and desires and passions and whatever it may be in your heart, and you're like, I am seeing none of that. I'm just seeing what's in front of me, and it is frustrating. But this is a season where you are growing your roots into the ground so you can eventually actually grow fruit. And this is a very crucial season, as I believe if you don't make it through the season, you won't actually see everything that God has for you. And being a youth pastor, I see a lot with our youth leaders who are at that 18 to 21 age, that they're in very much so a season of preparation. They're studying, they're an apprentice, and they've got all these dreams, they've got all this passion, they've got all this excitement, but then they want it to all work out in the 6-month period. And so I have a lot of catch-ups and I have a lot of meetings and they're like, but I've done my 6 months, man. What's going on, Jack? And having to teach them that seasons of preparations don't just last a season. I was like that. Like we've all been 18 to 21. You're the most passionate person on earth. I want to keep that passion until I'm 84. But you're so passionate. You believe that God's going to come through with everything. But then there's so much frustration and the amount of times they're like, I'm quitting it all. God's clearly not in this. And having to speak to them with love and grace and be like, no, don't quit. You're on the right track. You're just in this season of preparation to actually grow you to the person that God has called you to be. And that's what at times can happen. We hit our season and we just want to quit because we're just being unnoticed. As humans, we desire to be in big things. As humans, we desire to see what God has called us and we just can't handle at times the season of preparation. But I want to encourage us today that Solomon was in a season of preparation himself. As before he was born, it was promised to him by the prophet Nathan that that Solomon was going to be king. And then at the age of 10 years old, David announced that Solomon would be the king that goes after him. And so you may think, oh, 10 years old, he only had to wait till 20 years old to become king. That's not that young. But in this time with kings, it was quite common that kings would be kings at 7 to 20. There was a bunch of kings that were in that quite young age. And so also, if you've ever been promised anything, you want that thing straight away. So there's going to be areas of frustration. And Solomon had to go through a season of preparation from 10 to 20 to learn what to do to be king. And that he had to learn from his father. And I love it. In 1 Chronicles 28 verse 20, he mentions that he's got to do the work. And Solomon, as I mentioned, had to be so teachable in this time. And what I found is, this case for Solomon, David was the person that God put in his place to grow him, to teach him, so that he can move past this season of preparation. In my life, it was my bosses, my leaders, Pastor Joe, it was many, my parents that got me through the season of preparation, which I'm still in. But also, God uses man or woman or the leaders in your life to actually grow you. Yep. In these seasons. See, you may feel frustrated. It may feel like there's just no hope. It may feel like these people are the Antichrist at times, but they're not. They're not. They're actually there to grow you into the character that you need to have, so that you can move to the season that God has called you to be. Be the man or woman that God has called you to be. Do the things that God has called you to do. And I want to encourage you today. Solomon had to view David and learn so much from David. I had to do it. And we all have to do it. So treat the people and the leaders that God has placed in your life, whether he has or not, like he has placed them in your life. So learn from them. Maybe you're not going to agree with everything they do. That's okay. But you've got to submit yourself unto them, because God is using them to deal with the things that he needs to deal with. Yep. God puts leaders in our life to deal with our character faults, with our issues and our attitude adjustments, so that we can actually have the character and grow the gifts that we need to grow for God to place us in our life. In the season of preparation, God is seeing if he can trust you in the small things to then lead him into trusting you with the larger things. So if you are in a season of preparation, as they constantly do come, seek God and ask him for what he wants you to learn, but also be teachable and patient whilst dealing with everyone God has put above you, as he is growing you to be the person that he wants you to be. And you know you have handled this season of preparation well when God starts bringing to life what he planted in you during that season. As doors are going to start to open, there'll be start to be a bit of movement and you're reaching your goals and dreams. And there'll actually be start to be great personal development as well, which means you're entering into the season of growth. As I mentioned, this is a season, this growth, season of growth is a season where it'll start to feel like your patience and attitude in the last season is starting to pay off. And you start to see little glimpses of hope where this is a season where God will actually start to expand those gifts that you've been learning, and there'll be fresh vision and capacity. And you'll start to notice a change where it felt like you're just trying everything to open these doors, and all of a sudden they're just opening that supernaturally. That is God, and that is this season of growth. But in these seasons of growth, it is crucial as that you don't get prideful. In these seasons where doors start to open up, it is so easy for pride to come in. It is so easy for just thoughts of, oh, I can do this on my own. But I can tell you right now, you're not close to where God has you. You haven't reached the season of fulfillment. You haven't reached the season that God has called you in. He's just starting to open doors. He's starting to grow you, because it's a capacity building season. So in this time, I love what Solomon did when he hit this time. So he was 20, he just became king, and it was awesome for him. But this is the first action Solomon took, and it's in 1 Kings 4:29 to 30. And it said, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than the wisdom of all of Egypt. Because of that wisdom, Solomon was able to create new leadership and administration structures and start to build God's promised temple. And when we're in a season of growth, what I would strongly encourage you is seek God's wisdom. See, wisdom is what's actually going to get you to the places that God is going to call you. God is going to give you the right strategies, like it did for Solomon. It's going to give you the right words to say. It's actually, you're going to be able to enter into the rooms God's called you to be and actually have great wisdom and understanding of what to say to actually move forward. But also what it does is it keeps you humble. See, we can be so prideful, but if we've got God on our side, if we're being still trusting and being obedient to God for his wisdom, there is great humility that comes from that, and you'll be able to grow. As Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And when God moves you into a season of growth, don't become prideful and think that you've made it, but instead ask God for wisdom. See, Solomon was king. Solomon had got the job, but what did he do? He asked God for wisdom, and then he was able to actually bring into place the temple and do the things that God had really called him to do. It was through the wisdom that he got from God. So keep nurturing, if you are in the season, keep nurturing what God has planted and do not let pride or distraction come, but continue to seek God and he will guide you and give you wisdom in the season so that you can see the fruit of your labor. And if you do that, you will enter the final season that I do believe that comes, and that's the season of fulfillment. And this is a season that everybody wants to reach. This is a season that I want to reach. This is a season that we all want to reach in certain areas in our lives, because this is a season where you're actually going to receive the fruit of all the hard work, all the investment, all the growing time. And it actually shows you that you've been humble and obedient to God, and now you're reaping the rewards, as this is a season where promises of God start to actually manifest. The waiting has paid off, prayers have been answered, and your purpose becomes clearer. And this is a season, as I mentioned, where we all want to get to at points in our lives, and this is actually a season that Solomon got to. See, Solomon went through a season of preparation. He went through the season of growth to get to the season of fulfillment as he was king, and he completed God's temple, which fulfilled a long-awaited promise that God made to David. And his wisdom was known worldwide, it says, with king, leaders and kings coming from afar to speak to him and put themselves under him to learn from. And under him, Israel experienced its peak of wealth and stability. And to this day, he has a lasting spiritual legacy. This all happened because Solomon was able to apply his learnings from a season of preparation and the wisdom and humility he had in the season of growth to enter into his season of fulfillment. But the unfortunate thing was that whilst he was in the season of fulfillment, it says that he kind of lost eyes in the things that mattered. He kind of lost eyes in where it was obedience and humility and wisdom that got him to where he was. He started to lose eyes in that, and it says that he started to marry many foreign women, which led him to idolatry, leading him to building shrines for their god. And I find that so sad, because he was so obedient, he was so trusting of God, but then he lost his sight on the prize, which is God, which is obedience. Well, everything he had learned in the first season and the second season caused him to, he just didn't bring it into the season of fulfillment. And I want to encourage you, if you are in a season of fulfillment, you need to remind yourself that God deserves the glory. It's not us. We're not the reason. We've just been obedient. We've just been the vessel that God has asked to do what we have been called to do. It's God that's given us those dreams. It's God that's given us those skills. It's God that has given us those gifts in our life. So we need to remain humble. We need to still do the practices that we used in preparation and growth to see further what we can do in the season of fulfillment. If you think about it, usually when you're in a season of fulfillment, you've got great source of resources, great source of skills, great source of assets that are able to actually not just help yourself, but help the other people. Yeah. That's actually able to bless other people in your life. So it's important that you still remain obedient to God. It's important that you still remind yourself that God is the one that is in control, because if you do that, you will be able to bless others. But not only that, you need to, in this season, still be open to God still using you to maybe go through another season of preparation. See, it's not just a three-step, oh, we go from season of preparation, season to growth, to season of fulfillment, and then we're done. But it's actually a constant cycle that we're going to go through. Sometimes it may be in certain areas of your life where you feel like you're in a season of fulfillment in one area of your life, or you're in a season of growth. And you see, it can be so many different things. Can I please have the band come up this morning? But you can live out these seasons constantly, as God is always wanting to grow people, and God's plans are always greater and bigger than our plans. So we need to always submit to him and be humble in what he wants to do. Because there's always more, church. We may have dreams, but God's always got more for us. So let's always not be looking inward, but be looking up and outward so that we can hear from God to bless other people. And this morning, I've gone through three separate seasons of life that I know each and every person would be going through right now. The season of preparation, a season of growth, and a season of fulfillment. And it is crucial that we manage and handle each of these seasons well to reach the places that God wants us to be, to reach the have the character that God wants us to have the fruit that God has called us to get. In every season, we need to remind ourselves that God is in control and we need Him. We need to be obedient. We need to be open to hearing His voice and showing us, having us take His direction. And maybe you're here and you feel like you are in a season of preparation. If you are in this, you need to be patient and you need to stay teachable with the leaders that God has put in your life as He will use them. And He will use this season to refine you, to prune you, and to build your character to a place that it needs to be in. This season is never easy, but this season is a season of extreme. It's extremely crucial, as if you don't get through this season, you'll find that you're going to be constantly in this season. You're going to have it's going to be a constant issue in your life where you're like, I've got all these dreams, I've got all these passions, but I just can't seem to get past this. It's because God's needing to grow your character. So stay patient, stay humble, and you will get there. And maybe you're here and you feel like you're in a season of growth. Well, I want to encourage you to stay humble and nurture what's growing. Don't leave God behind, but run towards Him and ask for wisdom. Ask for guidance and ask for His presence, because through that, God's going to be able to grow your character. God's going to grow your gifts. God's going to actually grow the areas that He needs to grow in your life so that you can reach the places that He has called you to be in your life. And at times it's going to feel slow, but don't settle for half of what God has called you for. Don't settle for a quarter of it, but believe that you're going to see it all. Ask for that wisdom that God's going to give you. And maybe you're here and you feel like you're in a season of fulfillment. Give praise to God in this season. Glorify God in this season. Don't take it for granted. Don't get prideful and take it all for yourself, but instead serve others, bless others. Ask God how you can help further what He's doing in your life to other people's lives. Look up and look around when you're in that season of fulfillment. But then also go, God, is there a season of preparation that you want me to go even again and be obedient to what God has called. In the end, whatever season you are in, the key is stay close to God. Learn from God. Be humble to God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek God and remind yourself that God is in control, because He is in control. Every area, even when it seems uncertain, even when doubt comes in, even when it feels stagnant, even when it feels just uneasy, just remind yourself this is all a part of God's plan and lean into God, and He will guide your path. He will comfort you, He will provide peace, and He will be with you. Can I please have everybody stand in this place today? And can everybody please, if one stand, just bow your heads and close your eyes. I understand there'll be people here today that found themselves in one of these three seasons and you just feel stagnant. You just feel like, is God really there? Or maybe you've tried to take matters into your own hands and try to do it all on your own and because you just like to be in control and you've forgotten the fact that God is in control and He's got the plan and He's got the blueprint for your life. Well, I'd love to pray with you today and believe that something's going to shift again this week, where maybe it's a sense of peace, maybe it's a crucial conversation, I don't know what, maybe it's just God giving you direction and guidance and where you need to take steps, or maybe it's just an attitude that God's needing to get rid of. I don't know what it is. Well, what I would love to do is, if that is you, can you please just raise your hand? I would love to pray with you today. If you're in this season, thank you. If you're in a season that you're just feeling stagnant, I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody else? Just keep your hand raised if that's you. And I'd love to pray with you. Nobody's looking around. Fantastic. Dear Lord, I pray for every single person that's feeling stagnant right now. Lord, I ask them, Lord, give them what they need. If it's peace, if it's direction, if it's guidance, maybe it's, this is a step to say, God, I'm putting my life back into your hands. God, I'm putting my life back into your direction. God, I may have forgotten. God, I may have led and taken back control, but I'm going back to you and realigning my dreams and passions and life to you today. I'm just going to say yes to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I please have everybody just keep their heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment? Today I've been speaking about a God that is in control. A God that loves us. A God that has a great plan for us. A God that we can do so much wrong but still will come back, will still be there to forgive us, be there to guide us and be there to direct us. And see, God is in control. You know, I know this because over 2,000 years ago, He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross so that me and you can be loved, so that me and you can be forgiven, and so that me and you can enter eternity together. No matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, He still loves us and He still wants the best for us. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, so He can pay a price for our wrongdoing so that we can enter into heaven. And in the Bible it says, if you believe in Jesus in your heart and confess that He is Lord and Savior with your mouth, you will be saved. And as a sign...